the Silver State helicopter bankruptcy, what it means for students, instructors, and plaintiffs. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. The sudden shutdown of Silver State helicopters on Sunday, followed by a bankruptcy filing on Monday, has left hundreds of helicopter flight instructors out of work, and hundreds of students holding the bag for huge student loans to cover tuition already paid to the company. A pending lawsuit against the company, connected with the death of Silver State instructor Tamara Williams, will also be impacted by the collapse of the company. To sort out some details of this story, ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell has arranged to speak with Ed Booth and Don Majewski, board-certified aviation law attorneys with the Jacksonville, Florida firm of Zisser, Robison, Brown, Nolis, and Majewski, PA. We'll present this extensive analysis over 2 days. Here's Jim Campbell.
It was a kind of an interesting Sunday afternoon when everybody should have been off and watching the Super Bowl and dealing with all that. Aero News started getting some news by reports that something was amiss at Silver State Helicopters. For those of us within the aviation industry, Silver State Helicopters has been a nexus of complaints and curiosity and questions about how a company like this can possibly promise all that they did, stay in business, and just how they were doing what they were doing, which was promising the moon and the stars to people since 1999 and apparently not delivering. When you couple that with a number of accidents, including some very high-profile accidents, the situation around Silver State Helicopters got murkier by the week. Well, as of Sunday afternoon, it went from murky to dark. We got word that Silver State was shutting its doors. Over the course of several hours, working through, it was about 8, 9 p.m. through to about 4 in the morning, we posted our first story before midnight on Sunday. And then finally got confirmation up and down the line. Silver State Helicopters, all 40-some-odd locations, all couple hundred helicopters, all 800-plus employees were gone. They shut the doors the next day, Chapter 7, which means this company will cease to exist in a matter of time. I've been fortunate enough to know a couple folks from the legal community, and one in particular, Ed Booth Jr., who, I've known you way too long.
It goes back probably 15, 20 years, Jim.
It's been a long time. Certainly somebody I trust and have flown with. Ed is a pilot and an aircraft owner and involved in aviation on a number of levels. And his partner have been involved in particular in a case that, frankly, is driving me a little nuts because it was so bloody unnecessary. And we'll start a little bit there. But Ed, if you and your partner will introduce yourself and let people know who you are and why you're involved in this conversation.
Thank you, Jim. Ed Booth and with me my partner Don Majewski. We are both board-certified aviation lawyers, which means the Florida Bar recognizes us as specialists in this particular area. Since March of 2007, we have been investigating Silver State Helicopters as a result of a fatal accident that occurred in Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida.
Well, that accident, as published in ANN and is monitored since the crash itself, and we got calls on that one, I think, within an hour after impact that something was amiss. But basically, they had an R-44 that went down with a student and an instructor. After a number of maintenance procedures were conducted, a short maintenance test flight was conducted, and as the NTSB found out to its horror, at least according to some of the folks on the investigation side of the coin, this helicopter was not airworthy. It wasn't remotely airworthy. This accident should never have happened. If you would, gentlemen, talk a little bit about what you found out as you investigated this accident.
Jim, I'm going to let Don speak to that. Don is an experienced helicopter pilot and can explain better than I can the control systems involved in this particular accident.
Jim, the accident, as you pointed out, was preventable and unnecessary. But this one's particularly egregious because the components that control certain of the dynamic rotor system parts, the swash plate, the control tubes, and so forth and so on, were simply not secured properly and torqued properly. And the moment that happened, we were looking at a recipe for disaster. This aircraft was uncontrollable, much like a car being driven down a road having to negotiate a turn would be uncontrollable if the steering mechanism was not properly rigged and secured. So what we had here is a young lady who was a very safe helicopter pilot working as an instructor, providing instruction to his students, who basically had no control of the aircraft at the point in time when the control tubes came free from the swashplate assembly. It's a tragedy. It should not have happened. And it's all a function of systemic problems with the maintenance at Silver States.
Well, the NTSB report is quite specific, and in fact, the maintenance people are quoted throughout the final report on this as indicating that they were overworked, underprepared, didn't have the support that they needed, and they ultimately put this thing together partway, forgot that they put it partway, even did a test flight on it, and, you know, thankfully for those involved in the test flight and horribly for those later on, it didn't work loose then. I got to tell you, the R-44 is a great machine. Matter of fact, I was flying one at the factory just a couple of days ago with some of Frank Robinson's people, and it's just one of the finest little piston helicopters I've ever flown. But when it starts coming apart, i.e. things not attached, especially critical control assemblies like the swashplate, man, there's just nothing in the world that's going to save you.
And, Jim, I would point out that Tamara Williams, the instructor, didn't have a chance to inspect this work because the bolt assembly is concealed behind an aerodynamic fairing that would never be removed as part of pre-flight action. So she did everything possible in terms of her pre-flight action, was a safe pilot, had around 450 hours of helicopter time as an instructor, and this was just a most unfortunate accident and 100% preventable, should not have happened.
The big question now is, in light of the Chapter 7 filing and the justifiable claims that the family of the deceased has at this stage of the game, what happens? What happens to them?
Well, the bankruptcy filing, Jim, is equally puzzling. They claim to have only $50,000 of assets available and liabilities of around $50 million. In light of the sums of money that each student candidate paid, which it's our understanding was around $75,000 to $80,000 per student, I think the first task is going to be to thoroughly explore the validity of those assertions that Silver State has only $50,000 in assets.
The other thing, Jim, that's interesting that Ed and I discussed earlier today is this. There's strong evidence that Tamara Williams was not covered by workers' comp insurance as required by Silver States. But even if she was, the conduct in this case is so egregious, we believe it would fall outside of any workers' comp protection. So, in that regard, even though Ed Booth and I believe there may be a stay issued, we believe that the stay will not apply to any claim as to the insurance proceeds for Silver State. And we're going to continue in that vein and not give up until we get to the bottom of this.
We'll be back to continue our discussion of last weekend's sudden closing of Silver State Helicopters in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Flagg. ANN's Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell is discussing the sudden closing last weekend of Silver State Helicopters with Ed Booth and Don Majewski, board-certified aviation law attorneys with the firm Zisser, Robison, Brown, Nolis, and Majewski, PA, in Jacksonville, Florida.
Let's segue from here for a second, gentlemen, and address the larger picture. Silver State Helicopters is a company that was built upon a dream, or the selling of a dream. Its founder, Jerry Arola, we saw the videos as late as yesterday, talked about an unlimited need for helicopter pilots, about this incredible industry that needed helicopter pilots right and left, that, you know, the world was looking for more helicopter pilots. Come be a helicopter pilot. And to the guy who's guy or gal who's out there working a 9-to-5 and, you know, wants to get ahead and wants to do something exciting, this was manna from heaven. But the promise did not meet the reality, did it?
No, it certainly didn't, but I don't think we really have to go that far with our analysis, Jim, because they simply didn't have the capability of training the students that they took on. And I think your investigation and our investigation as well has revealed that, for example, the Jacksonville operation, some 80 students with only 2 helicopters and 4 or 5 instructors, you simply cannot perform the training promised with that little of an infrastructure.
Well, especially if you're flying them to the extent that they need to be flown, you're going to also have to take them down now and then. And then, as I understand it, not only did they not have enough helicopters, but they didn't have enough staff to support the helicopters that they had.
No, and what are your ideas, Jim, on the number of maintenance hours per flight hour that would apply to a Robinson helicopter? Is it 4 hours of maintenance for 1 flight hour, or what's the ratio?
Well, to be honest, I'm not quite sure what the ratio would be right now. I can tell you that the Robinson is possibly one of the most maintenance-free helicopters that's been built in recent memory. They do very well, but that's not counting the one critical factor here. This is a flight school environment. Nothing is more injurious and wearing on a helicopter like the constant takeoffs, landings, autos, pickups, set-downs, this, that, and the other. This is, and of course, the fact that there are a lot of students abusing the helicopter, not out of, you know, willfulness, just because they don't know any better. This is hard stuff on a helicopter. There is going to be a significant amount of maintenance needed just as a function of the use that it's getting, even though, I mean, I've owned 2 R-22s and I've been a partner in an R-44, and they're marvelous, marvelous ships. But in a flight school environment, that's pretty touchy stuff.
And in our investigation has revealed nowhere near the level of maintenance personnel to properly maintain these helicopters.
Absolutely not. And you know, that's pretty much borne through in not just this NTSB investigation, but if you look at the dozens of accidents that have shadowed Silver State Helicopter, inexperience on the part of the instructors, inadequate supervision of students, maintenance issues, so forth, have shadowed this company all along.
I mean, there's even an accident, Jim, where one of their experienced instructors was killed picking up a helicopter from the Robinson factory and under some severe time pressures attempting to return it to Las Vegas that occurred about 2 years ago. So there is a disturbing history of accidents for this company. But our investigation, Jim, is really centered on why Tamra Williams and Wyatt Duncan were killed. And again, we keep coming back to inadequate maintenance, inadequate oversight of that maintenance. And as the NTSB has pointed out, just plain not following the recommended procedures.
So this was a company that wasn't prepared to do a darn thing that they either promised specifically or implicitly as a function of being in the business they were in, correct?
That's true, and this may be the time to talk about how the students funded their flight lessons, because that is going to become a central part of the postmortem on this company.
Well, here's a real tragedy, because there are students that we've documented as of today that have literally only, in one case, spent his money and only gotten, you know, a little bit of data on what he's going to go through and his, some of his books and so forth, hadn't even started flying. And as I understand, they're on the hook for the whole price.
Oh, I understand. I think I put you in touch with a student here in town who paid $55,000 for 15 hours of flight training. And that's all he got out of it.
Well, that's a good rate if you're renting, if you're learning to fly a Boeing, but an R-22, that's a bit much.
But the mechanism for funding for these students were federally backed, federally guaranteed student loans, the same type of student loan you would obtain to go to a major state university. And for reasons that I really don't understand, the lending institutions were able to write loans for this helicopter training as if it was a legitimate student loan. In any event, these students were loaning or obtaining loans for anywhere from $55,000 to $85,000, very often at an interest rate of between 14% and 16%.
Oh, man.
Which, if you break that down into the repayment terms, is around $1,600 a month for 20 years to pay the loan off. Now, Silver State promised that there were adequate jobs out there paying huge sums of money that would allow you to pay that back in no time, but we sadly know that that wasn't true.
We'll continue the conversation tomorrow with ANN's Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell and attorneys Ed Booth and Don Majewski. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.